So you might have to call somebody else to get information. Also, we are going to England next Thursday for a couple of Kingdom of God seminars there, and we'll be back around February the 7th. Anyway, you heard in the things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Now, Isaiah was written, the first segment today, more about the kingdom of God. And the second part here is titled, the kingdom is at hand. In Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10, it says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the 2,600 years ago. And it's clear from this particular scripture that God had a purpose, had a plan in mind right from the beginning, declaring the end from the beginning. You know, what is the end? The end is the kingdom of God. You have basically, just to encapsulate things, you have 6,000 years of man's rule, and then the seventh 1,000-year period will be the kingdom of God, the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. And the 7,000 years are symbolized by the week of creation. The seventh day, which is the Sabbath, the day of rest, symbolizes the millennial day of rest. The book of Hebrews goes into that. And so therefore, even today, just keeping this day, the Sabbath day, is actually looking forward to the kingdom of God. So every week we think about the kingdom. It is the central focus of God's plan. The return of Jesus Christ, the establishment of the kingdom. So God's purpose regarding the kingdom of God is prophetic. It is the central focus of all prophecy. And when he talks about his pleasure, when Isaiah talks about his pleasure means that he delights in offering his kingdom. As we heard in the first segment, none of the people running for president this year, and not the president himself either, has the solutions to the problems that confront this country. But when we look at the Bible, we see the solutions not only to this country's problems, but to the problems of every nation on the planet. Those problems will not be solved until Jesus Christ returns and the kingdom of God is established. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, it says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So God's intent is to give us the kingdom of God. We are the little flock that is being talked about here. Those that God has called, has sanctified, has called out of this world, set apart. And part of the reason for that is because he wants us to be involved in preaching the message of the coming kingdom of God. But it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. That's just a different translation of that same verse, Luke 12 and verse 32. So in this presentation, we're going to look at how the kingdom of God is at hand and discuss how to make this prophetic event a personal experience for each and every one of us. From the time Jesus made this landmark statement, the kingdom of God has been the focus of the message from God to mankind. Now understand, whereas God in the Old Testament dealt with the physical nation of Israel through human messengers, the kingdom of God, first preached by Jesus Christ, has become the focus of his message to mankind. So let's have a look at some of the scriptures here, beginning in Mark chapter 1, which we already saw in the first half. But again, it's a very important scripture to look at here. You know, I haven't always believed what I believe today. I've not always been in the church of God. And I know that when I was growing up attending the Methodist Church, there was no understanding of the kingdom of God. In fact, whenever the subject came up, the answer was always like, the kingdom of God is in your heart. But notice here what it says in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel, which is the good news of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, when he talked about a kingdom is a territory. You know, that I mean, I come from the United Kingdom. That's where I grew up. A king has a king. A kingdom has a king. So the kingdom of God has a king. The king is Jesus Christ. It also has a territory. And the territory is the earth. But Jesus Christ will be the king over the whole earth after he returns. But that's the kingdom that is being talked about here. Then it says repent, which means change. Stop breaking the laws of God and believe the gospel, believe the good news. Believe this message of the kingdom. Again, Isaiah 46, verse 10, I make known the end from the beginning. Matthew 25, verse 34, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So right from the beginning, right from creation, it was God's plan to establish the kingdom and to give us the kingdom. And it was also, of course, a part of God's plan to send Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could actually go into the kingdom. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand. It hasn't changed simply because most people in the Western world today are less inclined to read the Bible. That doesn't change anything. Here we see my purpose will stand. God's purpose regarding the kingdom is prophetic. And I will do all that I please. So his plan is still there and will come to fruition. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Again, Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. The law and the prophets were until John, it tells us in Luke 16, verse 16. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. So the focus changed when Jesus Christ came to earth and started preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The focus changed. Before that, the focus was on the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law and the prophets. The kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Matthew chapter 3, in those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus Christ. And this was a prophecy that was fulfilled in the book of Isaiah, also in the book of Malachi. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So how is it going to happen? I mean, what does it mean literally when it says kingdom is at hand? There's the hands there. John the Baptist came preaching, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are the same. It's talking about the same thing. Jesus came preaching, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Again, I just want to point out here that it really, although Jesus Christ came and gave us this message 2,000 years ago, it has not been believed throughout the 2,000 years since Jesus Christ. You know, the church that dominated the Western world for right up until the Protestant Reformation believed that the church was the kingdom of God. That was the belief. And after the Protestant Reformation, you know, the teaching was more that the kingdom is in your hearts. But again, when you look at the scriptures, it is talking specifically about a kingdom that is going to be established when Jesus Christ returns. Now here, when it comes to our own personal role, participation in the kingdom of God is not a passive activity. You know, we are given the opportunity in the scriptures by God to play a role in the kingdom of God even now, prior to Christ's return to this earth. Let's have a look here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. So he's taken us out of this world, Satan's world. It's very much a part of Satan's whole system. He's delivered us from Satan's world, from the domain of darkness. Satan is a lover of darkness. And, of course, the false religious system that Satan is behind keeps everybody in the dark. Jesus Christ is a bringer of light. Light opens us up to understand the truth. So he's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred to us the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. You know, we can have our sins completely washed away. We can be forgiven. We can repent. And we can be cleansed of everything that we've ever done in the past. We don't have to worry about anything that we've done in the past. The only sin that the Bible tells us is unforgivable, is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But apart from that, anything can be repented of. And that is good for us to know. It's reassuring, because it means that we can have our sins washed away. If we repent, we have to repent and be baptized in order to have our sins washed away. And whatever those sins are, whether they are anything in the moral area, for example, which most people have failed in some respect in their lives, or whether it's breaking God's Sabbath, for example, which is an area that, again, most Christians have failed in because they don't even know when the Sabbath is. But we can repent of anything and be forgiven of that. And this is the assurance that we have, not just here, but in other scriptures as well. Philippians 3, we are citizens of heaven, and we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. He will change our weak mortal bodies and make them like his own glorious body, using that power by which he is able to bring all things under his rule. Just as Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead and given eternal life, so we also will be resurrected from the dead and given eternal life when Jesus Christ returns from heaven. We don't go to heaven as soon as we die. We're waiting for the time of Christ's return. And when Jesus Christ returns, we will be changed. It will be our time to be resurrected when Christ returns. He will change our weak mortal bodies and make them like his own glorious body, because he now is spirit. He's been resurrected, so he is a spirit being. He will live forever, using that power by which he is able to bring all things under his rule. John 18:36. I was thinking about this week, and I want to prepare a sermon on this because I think it's very appropriate to base a sermon on this, especially in a year that is going to be so dominated by the election. My kingdom is not of this world. You know, we focus so much about on what is happening in our world, and particularly in our own country, but my kingdom is not of this world, Jesus Christ said. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Even the disciples expected Jesus Christ to liberate them from Roman rule and to establish his kingdom 2,000 years ago. But that was not the plan. The plan was that man was to have a period of time to rule himself, and then the kingdom of God would be established, and it would be established after the second coming of Jesus Christ. John 17, verses 15 and 16, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. You know, we have to live in this world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So here, you know, we are reminded that we have to live in this world, which is Satan's world, and we have to learn how to cope in this world, but at the same time, we have to be living as God wants us to live. So Jesus Christ prayed to the Father. This was the night on which he was arrested, the day before he was crucified. He prayed that you, that is God the Father, should keep them from the evil one. So, you know, help them to resist the temptations that Satan throws at them. Our citizenship then is registered in heaven. We wait for that kingdom to come when Christ returns. We can now experience benefits of the kingdom by living according to God's laws. So let's look at that final point there, that, you know, God is calling people out of this world and teaching people the laws of God so that people can live according to the laws of God even in this life now as a preparation for being in the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the resurrection chapter of the Bible. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You know, we cannot go into the kingdom of God as we are now, as physical human beings. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Our bodies are corrupt, meaning that, you know, they turn back to dust when we're dead, very quickly. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. Paul was really writing for those that will be alive at the time of Christ's return. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So that's, again, what we're looking forward to at Christ's return. The gospel of the kingdom of God, then, is an invitation to become part of God's ruling family at the return of Jesus Christ. But it's an invitation now to train and qualify to assist Jesus Christ as priests in the coming kingdom, because the Bible even reveals to us what our role will be in the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, has made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. So one role that we're going to have is we're going to be priests, ministers. The word minister simply means servant. And we're going to rule with Jesus Christ in the world tomorrow. Look at this. They sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on the earth. So God is calling people from every tribe and language and people and nation. We've got these Kingdom of God seminars being held all over the world. Next week, I'm going to be in London. And 2 weeks' time, I'll be in a place called the Isle of Man, which I learned today was the old Viking capital of the Viking Empire 1,000 years ago. We've got Kingdom of God seminars across Africa and Australia and other countries. See, God is calling people from every tribe and language and people and nation. Why is he doing that? Because God is preparing for his kingdom. And those that God is calling now will be kings and priests when Jesus Christ returns, and they will reign on the earth. My Father's house has many mansions, it says in John chapter 14, many positions of rulership. So who may be part of the kingdom? Those who are called to it may be a part of the kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So we have to walk worthy of God. We have to live as he lived, as Jesus Christ lived. We're told in 1 John chapter 2. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we're not called because of our own righteousness. In fact, quite the opposite. The scriptures tell us that God calls the weak of the world. But here we see clearly that we're called for a purpose, according to his own purpose and grace. This is part of God's plan, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So it goes right back to the time before the world as we know it was created. That was a part of God's plan to prepare for the kingdom. Who may be part of the kingdom? A few people now. Acts 2 verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So the promise at this time is not to everybody. John 6 verse 65, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. You know, God is the one who calls people to follow him. And there's nothing we can do to try and, you know, force other people to believe the same as us. In fact, if you try to do that, it'll blow up in your face because most people won't be interested. They're more comfortable with their own beliefs and they don't want to, change their beliefs in accordance with the scriptures. Matthew 13, verses 10 to 12, his disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. You know, this was an eye-opener to me when I first seriously started reading the Bible, which was about 45 years ago, because in Sunday school I was taught that the parables were to help people to understand. But the scriptures say exactly the opposite. You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. So the purpose wasn't to help everybody understand. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. So to those who listen to my teaching means, you know, those who respond to my teaching, those who take it seriously, those who repent, those who change, those who desire to follow him, to commit their lives to following the Messiah. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. You ever wonder why Jesus Christ performed a miracle in front of 5,000 people? But at the time the church began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, there were only 120? What happened to the other 4,880? That was quick math. What happened to them all? Well, you know, their eyes cannot see, their ears cannot hear, their hearts cannot understand. They couldn't understand. They could see the miracle. They saw what had happened, but their understanding just wasn't there. They close minds. And partly it's because, you know, they didn't want to change to follow Jesus Christ. They didn't want to change the way of life that they were living. So Christ said to the disciples, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So who may be part of the kingdom? Many people later, not right now. John 12, verse 32. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So ultimately, everybody has an opportunity for salvation. It's summed up here in 1 Corinthians 15, in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. God is doing things in an orderly way. Jesus Christ was the first one to be resurrected. At Christ's return, those who are in Christ, those who have the Holy Spirit, will be resurrected. But other people will not be resurrected until 1,000 years later. So are you being called now? That's a question. John 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So again, God the Father is the one who draws people, who calls people. That's another terminology that we could use. Jesus Christ is saying, look, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise that person up at the last day. In Romans 2, verse 4, it says, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So you can't even repent unless God wants you to, unless he's leading you to repentance. For many are called, but few are chosen. So many people hear the message, but very few are chosen by God. Very few are called. So if you feel that God is calling you, how should you respond to God's calling? 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. We plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. How do you know you're being called? I think the answer to that is when you feel you understand and you feel you want to do something about it. And that's what is being talked about here. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. A lot of people really would not even begin to understand the message that God has given us. Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You have an opportunity to be called, to change, to follow God. If you reject it, you'll probably lose a lot of the understanding that you have at this time. Luke 6, verses 46 to 48. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? See, this is a reason a lot of people are not called. They just don't do what Jesus Christ said. So, you know, therefore they cut themselves off from God. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. So if a person really wants to follow God, he listens to the teaching and then follows it. And that's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. A solid foundation, a solid spiritual foundation. Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You know, what this is telling us is that, those who don't really believe, how can they expect God to listen to them? A lot of people, a lot of Christians pray, and they can't understand why God doesn't answer their prayers. One of the challenges in going over to England next week, and it's an even bigger challenge on the continent of Europe, is that, because of the two world wars that the continent of Europe experienced in the last century, most people just believe there cannot be a God. So the very idea of God is something which they cannot even begin to comprehend. And yet 100 years ago, before World War I, England was very religious. But, people just believe that there's nothing there because they pray and they're not heard. But they pray without obeying God. So why would they expect God to hear? How shall they preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 10, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, most people do not believe the message that Jesus Christ brought. Most people in Christ's time did not believe it. When he spoke to those 5,000 that were miraculously fed, he shared the message of the gospel of the coming kingdom, and yet almost all of them rejected it. They took the free food and left. That's basically what it came down to. They rejected the message. They didn't understand. It may not even have been a conscious decision to reject it, but they just did not understand. And I know, you know, I know how that must have felt, because quite often when I give a funeral service, I go into what God's plan is for people after death, and then often people come up and they make a comment, you know, and they've totally misunderstood what I said. Because again, you know, you can speak on something, but it doesn't mean people understand it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verses 8 to 9. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written on it, for the time is near. The time of Christ's return is near. So here is a blessing on those who read the word of God, those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. You know, we have to walk as he walked, live as he lived, keep the commandments as he kept the commandments. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says that Jesus Christ was perfect in every respect. He did not commit sin. And even though we as human beings are going to let down and commit sin occasionally, it should be our desire and purpose in life not to commit sin. That should be our resolve. We're not going to commit sin. We're going to live as Jesus Christ lived. We're going to keep those things which are written in it, in the scriptures, the words of this prophecy, this revelation. And that's it. Kingdom of God Bible Seminars. I ended a little bit earlier than I thought here, so I must have mistimed it. But in the next seminar, we will cover in more detail how we can respond to God's calling and become enrolled in and participate in the kingdom of God. So we will be having more of these seminars. But that's the end of this second part here. But the kingdom of God is at hand. If you have any questions, I'll be around. David Fitch will be around as well. We'll be here for a while afterwards, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have. And there is a lot of literature on the back table there for those who would like to take some. We've even got some literature in Spanish, if any of you speak Spanish. And like I said, you're welcome to come to our church services as well if you'd like to do that. Thank you for coming. We appreciate it.